I hate the questions this week. I hate them all.
Really?
Yep.
I just took a gander at your MRR. You shouldn't hate it that much.
Yeah, I hate all the other ones.
But the MRR one looks good enough to cover the rest.
Yeah, I don't want to answer the rest of them.
Well, you're gonna.
Giant robots smashing into other giant robots.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Giant Robots Smashing into Other Giant Robots podcast. I'm Ben.
And I'm Chris.
And we're going to be talking about the products that we manage at ThoughtBot. I run an app called FormKeep, which provides form backends for designers and developers.
And I, Chris, run Upcase, our subscription learning platform for aspiring web developers.
Hello.
Hi, Ben.
Hi, I'm Ben.
You are Ben.
Want to record a show?
More than anything, Ron.
Great. Let's talk about the products that we run at ThoughtBot.
Yeah, you want to just dive into that?
Yeah.
No fun anecdotes this week?
So I hurt my shoulder recently.
Okay.
Doing a Tough Mudder.
Ooh.
Tough Mudder is one of these like masochistic adventure race things. And I hurt my shoulder. And so I called my dance people and was like, hey, I hurt my shoulder. And they sent me a handwritten card being like, we miss you. Come back and spend money. We miss you.
Well, I mean, didn't you already spend all the money?
No. So I bought a pack of lessons, but I pay like every fifth lesson. So I'm like, I've committed to in the next year spending a certain amount of money, but they get paid as I use them.
Will they get paid regardless of if you use them?
At the end of the year, yes. Like they're...
Gotcha. Yeah. So you're paying in sort of installments, but you are bought into the total.
Right. So they want me to go through the lessons quickly so I can get the more lessons.
Ah.
But so they've been like calling me and emailing me and sending me notes.
They've got those tactics.
And they're like, we like you. We want you.
Man, do you think you could like, I don't know, get good enough at dance to convince them to take you into their school to get a copy of their playbook? To then run away with it and bring it here and read it on the podcast. Or just, you know, read it for yourself. And
yeah. I mean, I think we're seeing the playbook.
We are, but that's different than, like, you're seeing the visible aspects of it, mm-hmm. but the actual thinking. And, like, I imagine that's actually a detailed document that says a lot of things.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of it.
There's a lot of probably interesting stuff in there.
Yeah. The manager person said she would come on the podcast.
That's exciting.
Yeah, but we probably won't do that because, I don't know.
Why not?
I'm done with dancing. Bored with it.
I feel like the internet has really responded well to this. This is probably the most popular segment we've had on the podcast.
Yeah.
In the time that I've been on it, at least. I'm boring, but dance instruction,
maybe,
interesting.
Yeah, maybe ThoughtBot should pay for my dance lessons to generate podcast fodder.
Yeah.
I could just start doing lots of things that have like advanced sales tactics and just report back on them.
Start a franchise. Seriously. ThoughtBot's product portfolio now includes a Five Guys.
Ooh, that would be awesome.
That might have detrimental effects on your health, though.
Yeah, it would. Speaking of detrimental.
Yeah.
FormKeep went down over the weekend.
Oh, like the site?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I found out about it when someone messaged me on Twitter. Actually, when someone mentioned it on Twitter and I happened to check for like at FormKeep via a Twitter search. And they're like, FormKeep is down. WTF. And I was like, oh yeah. So
now, I guess it's only one Rails app, right? And it's just
it
running,
is.
But it's got a couple worker instances.
It does.
So the whole thing was down or just the web front end?
It's a good question. I don't know.
Like, did you drop form submissions is my question. Was data lost?
I don't know. Probably. If you don't, if the Rails app isn't responding, then the workers aren't getting, yeah.
Oh, right. Then we're not accepting the Rails app posts. Is the endpoints. Yeah.
Yeah. We it's possible we have dropped submissions. Yeah.
Okay. There is no distinct marketing site, I guess, is the answer to that. So yeah.
No.
If it was down, it was down. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's not good.
No.
And the lack of monitoring is not good. So that was one of the first things I did this week was to set up. By the way, if you just want a text when your site is down, it is so annoying.
Really?
It took me a long time to find something that would even. So the problem is that's all I want. I don't want to like manage a schedule of people who are on call for incidents.
So you don't want pager duty.
Right, which is what I in fact ended up signing up for because that was like the first thing I could find that would promise to send me a goddamn text message.
Did you look at Pingdom? I thought that was basically their standpoint.
I think that is. I found them after I signed up for pager duty. And I was like, oh yeah, Pingdom was that thing I was trying to think of.
Right.
They probably also do a million. I'm going to do a live critique. Here we go. Live teardown.
Because you wanted a very specific thing. And I believe they sell that very specific thing.
They do. This looks like what I want. This is a good landing page. Website monitoring for everyone, which is kind of generic. Like, that's a pretty terrible H1, I actually would say. Who is it for? It's for everyone.
What does that mean? I don't know what words you actually put into Google to get there, but you
didn't
get
Pingdom.
To, No, I mean before when you were searching and didn't end up on Pingdom.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were the right answer, I think. But right. somehow you did not end up there, despite the fact that you had a very specific need.
Yep.
I'm guessing you articulated it reasonably well. You know how to Google?
Yep.
You're tech savvy.
I type, like, if you type send SMS when site down, it's like, I get some person's blog post.
You can just set up your own Twilio to if this, then
yes,
that, too.
Yeah, exactly. I saw some, like, yeah, come on. Come on, people.
Don't you understand? I'm Ben Orenstein. I want to pay someone to do this. I don't want to build my own.
No, I mean, for monitoring, you do want to pay someone.
Like, yeah, oh, of course.
I don't want to, like, string together my own garbage.
Yep.
So, anyway, it looks like Pingdom is what I wanted, but I couldn't find it at the time, so instead I sent it for PagerDuty, and, like, ugh. It's fine. It's just way more.
Yeah.
It's like, you have 12 site reliability engineers on different schedules,
yeah.
and you have incident.
Yeah, it's much bigger than what you wanted, yeah. Which is surprising because like somebody is there and exists at that. Like you, for instance, offer form endpoints as a service.
Yeah.
What do people say into the Google when they want that?
Right. Yep. So anyway, now we have monitoring, which I need to switch off PagerDuty and onto Pingdom, which is unfortunate because.
So what actually are you monitoring?
Just that you can get a 200 from the site.
200, like, landing page.
Yeah, just from the root.
It's all served from the same Rails app, so in theory, that would at least have caught this.
Right.
It won't catch if there's anything, like, if it can't establish a database connection, will the page that you're getting that 200 from still render?
No.
The Rails app would be real sad.
Plans dynamically.
Okay.
Yeah, there are better health checks than just that, but that's a good start.
It sounds like it's integrating enough of the pieces that I think that's, at a minimum, it's better than what you had. And
right, we're moving forward. It would be nice to have I imagine Pingdom supports this, but like post to this point and verify you get, well, post, I guess, or get, I mean, I don't know. But yeah, we can do better, but at least there's something there as opposed to like, oh, we didn't know we were down.
Yeah.
Also the stupid, I mean, not stupid, but what, we just restarted the app and it worked.
Like, do you know what the actual issue was?
Why? I don't know. No, I haven't looked at that yet.
Do you even have a way to look at that? What does looking at that mean?
I could look at the logs and see what happened. For some reason, I guess our web workers
were
in.
Memory quota, maybe, something like that.
It may have been. I mean, shouldn't that get restarted, though?
Possibly. I'm not sure what sort of process managing Heroku actually does.
Yeah. So I need to look into that, too. Like, what's the root cause actually here?
Yeah.
Would be nice to know. But I figured monitoring was a good first step.
This sort of thing always falls into the, man, I really need to do this, but there will be no visible change to the application. Like, per our two questions of, what did you do to improve the site? What did you do? I guess, technically, it falls into the improve the site, but not in a visible way, not in a user-facing way. These are tough, but they're also critical. You have to do them. And
so,
yeah, cool. That was fun.
Yeah, and I was also away from any, like, development machines. I was on the Martha's Vineyard, so had to like ping somebody else in Slack and be like, hi, please restart. Maybe that will work, hopefully, because I can't help you right now.
I had one of those at one point where the SSL cert for, I want to say it was the forum, but might have been Upcase proper, just it expired and we were down and I was similarly out in the woods somewhere and I was like, oh, God.
Yep.
Somebody help, please. Yeah.
That's when it's nice to have more people.
It is. It is. Once again, the benefits of building products within Thoughtbot.
I did another thing this week, which was to finally ungrandfather everyone or move everyone to the new plans.
And it looks like that went well for you.
It did. Yep. We basically picked up $1,400 of MRR by doing that in
magic.
Yeah, in like 5 minutes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, 5 minutes / 6 months /
totally
12 months, depending on how you count it. And yeah, not 6 months, but 60 days was at least the minimum period that you were waiting. But even before that.
Yep.
That's nice. That's nice that had that specific of a payoff.
Mm-hmm.
Do you expect that to stick around?
I think so. My guess is despite having emailed people a few times, there will still be a handful of people like, what? Why is my bill like this?
Yeah.
And then cancel or demand a refund or something. Yep. But I hopefully it'll mostly stick around.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. We'll see. So that's nice. It's nice to see the graph just like, burp.
Yeah.
New level.
Yeah. I took a quick look and was like, oh, it's a intermediate hockey stick.
Yeah, exactly. It feels like I got it for free, kind of, which is, I mean, I didn't. It's nice, but also it's not a repeatable thing. Like, I can't raise the prices on 200 people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, cool, we're at a new level, but we really are still trying to solve the same problem as before, which is like, how do we add a consistent amount, which is a lot every month?
And it was latent in the system. Like, that's not going to happen again. No one else is going to end up in those plans and then have that sort of escalation. Mm-hmm. So, but nonetheless, it looks real good. It's nice.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
it's better moves you in the right direction. So, and it also, I mean, it speaks to the broader pricing work that you've been doing and that things are kind of heading in the right direction on all of that. So,
uh-huh.
Cool stuff.
Did we talk about SimCity on the podcast?
I don't recall a time where we talked about SimCity.
I hope I'm not repeating the story. So in the original SimCity, or maybe it was SimCity 2000. Are you sure we haven't talked about this?
I'm not sure.
There was a scenario. So SimCity had like exploration mode where you just make stuff. But they also had scenarios it shipped with. Like they would give you an existing city and then say, here's your challenge. Yep. Within this time period, do this. And there was one for Flint, Michigan.
Okay.
Which is, you know, a town whose economy has stagnated. I think we've talked about this, but I don't know.
I'm just thinking, isn't that the town with the lead in the water?
Mm-hmm.
The like recent
maybe it was Detroit. Party? Maybe it was Detroit. I don't know. Anyway, somewhere in Michigan.
Okay. Somewhere in Michigan.
And the idea was the economy was depressed, mm-hmm. and your mission was to increase the GDP equivalent in some certain amount of time. And I found this guide for like how to accomplish this. And it was like, guess what? You just go and lower the tax rate to zero and do nothing else. And it will, by the end of the time period, you'll have achieved it.
By the end of the time period, you will have mined your, yeah.
It'll work.
It'll work for that time period, yeah.
Right. So I feel a little bit sometimes like the person that has changed the number on the graph by doing the one thing.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm trying to say is, I wonder if I could have changed prices on FormKeep and done nothing else and just like worked on other stuff or like sat on the beach and had the same impact. It feels like the biggest lever I've had on MRR has been pricing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anything else comes close.
Sure, but it sounds like you're saying that as if it's a negative, but I don't think it is. Because when you say pricing, it sounds like a singular thing, but there was actually work that went into it. There was structural changes that needed to happen. And some other stuff that went into that. Also figuring out the price points, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, it's quite possible that that was by far the most important thing that you've done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am kind of saying it with a negative connotation.
Yeah.
And it maybe doesn't really deserve that. But it just kind of, it's interesting to me that that there seems to be an 80-20 or like a 90-10 thing happening here.
Mm-hmm.
Where almost all the results are from a small amount of effort comparatively or a small proportion of the effort.
I mean, you realize you're referencing an adage that is an anecdotal rule about how all things distribute.
Yeah.
So, like, that's going to happen.
Right. Right.
If anything, I would say, like, I'm actually in the opposite situation right now. I'm still looking for my singular lever.
Have you tried that one?
We have. Didn't go awesome, unfortunately. I think there are different ways to structure it, but just raising the prices did not work for us. But, yeah, I think, like, you've seen good results with that one thing.
Yeah.
And also, there's nothing else really screaming for your attention. Like, what else would you have done if not that?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, I guess my recommendation on that, and probably I'm guessing you've used up most of the latent energy in the pricing change. Like, I don't think let's double them again. At some point, people are going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the thing that I would recommend is just set up a test. You have that kind of really nicely tiered structure, but the ability to switch in new plans.
Mm-hmm.
Play around with it. See what you can do. It's an optimization game. It'll take a while, but kind of set that and then back away from pricing for a little while. And I would recommend you're focusing right now on the onboarding activation stuff, which I think is good.
Mm-hmm.
Taking those people, keeping them around, but then switching to the front end and trying to get more people in the door.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that can be the next big lever. But yeah, I don't like the negativity that you seem to be hinting at around this. I don't see.
I guess it's not totally negativity, but I guess it's a little bit like, is it a one-trick pony kind of thing?
Are you a one-trick
pony? Am I a one-trick pony?
Today at lunch, there was joking about Ben's playbook and your strong personal brand and it being these items.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens next is my answer to that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I guess that's the... So I'm actually thinking about rolling off FormKeep because I've done my single trick. So it's like... Where else can we apply this
trick? Where are
you
going next?
Somewhere that needs higher prices.
You stay out of my fiefdom. Actually, maybe we need this voice, but...
Yeah, I have my eyes on many fiefdoms. Anywhere where there are prices, they can be higher if they haven't been raised recently. We're going to delete some features, talk to users, raise prices.
So I guess the one thing that I'll say is, how's your personal satisfaction around having done that? It was effective.
Uh-huh.
So in the sense of raising MRR, we've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a question around whether or not it's been raised by enough. I have no idea to the answer of that. That's a hard one that we historically at ThoughtBot have not been able to answer. But from your own personal viewpoint, looking back on the work that you've done mm-hmm. and the success of the pricing stuff, how do you feel?
I feel good. I'm happy that I was able to recognize the opportunity mm-hmm. and go take it on and figure out what would work there. I feel like when it comes to pricing models, I've gotten a lot more knowledge there. Mm-hmm. Like I'm looking at Hound, for example, which charges currently per repo and gets a lot of the same complaints that yep. FormKeep got when we charge per form. And I think has the same weaknesses. And so we're actively looking for develop. Like we're going to grab a developer and throw them on Hound or ask them if they're interested in working on Hound like right now. So I think that's positive. And so that's a nice lever to understand and to be able to pull. I do feel like I don't have similar knowledge in other places. Mm-hmm. We're working on this now, but like I haven't come in and like said, activation is the problem and here's the solution, and then seen like a wow, that totally worked. Now we've doubled how many people get through the
right thing. You haven't been able to have a similar effect at different points in right. in the machine.
Yep. So I guess I feel pretty good, although I feel like I need to know like what's the next lever? Like where mm-hmm. else is really high value to focus and get better at improving that part of the product?
I think it's interesting that that's the way you answer the question, because I was more asking from the standpoint of looking at the work that you've done. Mm-hmm. Like, is there anything in that that you're thinking of, like back to when you were a consultant developer mm-hmm. and there was some gnarly piece of code or some architecture that you built and something that you could just kind of point out and say, that I made that, I'm really proud of that. It sounds like you're describing the business in that way. Mm-hmm. And so that's the thing that you've built. But from the standpoint of the thing that you've done is raise prices, mm-hmm. mostly like to really be reductionist about it. Mm-hmm. Are you happy with that as the like body of work that you've done from an intrinsic motivation standpoint? It's a weird question, but that's my question.
So you want my impressions on not the outcome, but whether like the amount, like the total sum of work that got done was satisfying?
Possibly, yeah. You're highlighting it as this singular thing. Yeah. So just in the sense of like the hours that went in.
Yep.
How do you feel?
Well, so for that particular project, it was a bunch of hours, but it also had a big payoff. So mm-hmm. I'm pleased with that. Beyond that, I mean, FormKeep hasn't changed a lot. Mm-hmm. We redid the styles. We've smoothed some rough edges down.
Got rid of that JavaScript.
Yes, we ripped out Ember. Oh, yeah, that was, yeah.
Remember that?
That was the best. Nothing was quite as good as that. So it's been like 6 months, I guess. Mm-hmm. Revenue's up 80% since then. So like that's cool. The product hasn't changed a lot, but I don't think I took it over thinking the product would change a lot. Mm. And so I'm pretty happy with my performance over there. You asked if I was satisfied. I guess I am satisfied.
Well, I guess performance isn't quite the kind of measure here. I'm thinking okay. more of the like, I had fun making this thing.
Fun.
So in the sense of, I don't know, craftsman is a loaded term, but in the like, I sort of miss that from my development time. I'm building this business and right now things are a little bit shaky in Upcase. So that certainly tints this, but the idea of like, what did I make? Oh, that was awesome. I spent like 2 weeks and I built this thing and it was great and I had a lot of fun. Mm. Do you miss that at all?
I got some of that with FormLinter.
Okay.
That was kind of nice. It was nice to wake up some mornings and be like, all I had to do today is write code. I totally know how to write code. Mm-hmm. So I did get a dose of that recently. I don't miss it that much.
And now you're basically at, it sounds like sort of an inflection point or a decision point. You want to keep going on the business stuff. That's the sort of thing you want to keep building.
It's a good question. It is. I feel like that's my 80 and the 20 is Haskell.
Okay.
Or something like that. Like yeah. I still like the getting like solving problems better with code is still very interesting to me. Mm-hmm. If doing more business stuff meant I wasn't doing any programming, that I think would be a deal breaker.
Right.
But if the most of my time is spent thinking about higher level concerns like revenue and who should be on what project and all that, I think I'd be okay with that.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, then good job on the pricing.
Thanks.
Roundabout, but yeah.
Yeah. Activation stuff, speaking of, is a little bit stalled.
Okay.
So our goal was actually to ship an initial version of that today.
Right.
So that we could iterate on it next week. And we did not. Tyson came up with some mocks that he ran by me and I thought were pretty good. And he ran by some other designers and thought were pretty good. And then he took these to a design critique that New York was doing, I guess I think their design team gets together and gives feedback. And there was, so the core of it was like splitting people based on whether or not they were dealing with a new form or an existing form. Mm-hmm. And people were not jiving with that language or the way of thinking. And a little bit was lost in translation here. Like, Tyson sort of was like, people weren't into it. It wasn't good. People were, like, thinking that everything kind of feels like a new form to them. Also, why are we calling it a form? Because we're not really making the form. Mm. And it was just kind of like this disconnect of language, and that split wasn't making sense to people. And these were all Thoughtbot designers who had not seen FormKey before, like, didn't really know what it was. Mm. So, like, pretty decent test group for us.
Yeah, in the sense of this is someone who needs to set this up, is new into the application, and will now be presented with that screen.
Yeah. So his sense was, like, we hadn't really hit on a good answer to this. So he's not quite gone back to the drawing board, but has, like, another flow he wants to try. He's working on that now and is going to sort of pitch it to me today, I guess. So that's a little unfortunate. And we also, so as part of this was, like, he was like, what do you think about this? And what do you think about this? And I was like, he was asking me questions about people signing up for FormKey and what they were doing and what their status was. And I was like, we should just talk to them. Or he might have even said that first. And I was like, yeah, we should. Why don't we just ask them? Mm-hmm. So he sent an intercom message trying to set up some calls with people. And he was like, I wish we'd just done this first. And I was like, yeah, definitely. Raise prices, delete features, talk to users, repeat.
Maybe talk to users.
Yeah, maybe talk to users should come first is the idea here.
Because you did talk to the users before you raised the prices. I remember that.
Yep.
And I give thumbs up to that.
Yeah.
That ordering of things.
Right. So that's in progress still. I'm wondering if we're getting a little bit too much analysis paralysis, where it's like the flows that weren't quite clicking are still a lot better than what was there.
Yep.
So, like, going back and trying to make them, like, take another crack at it and getting something that's even better is maybe good, but also shipping what we had might also have been good too.
Yeah. Well, especially, are you planning to ship it under the context of an A/B test or time series at least?
Yeah, yeah. It's a good question. I don't think we have the traffic to make an A/B test really reasonable. Like, the number of people that are getting to that final step of the funnel and actually setting up a form per month is just low. It seems like it would take us a long time to get good data from that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. You kind of have to though, right? Like, at some point you want to know, did that improve?
I mean, you don't have to.
We're just doing a thing, and then it's going to be done.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have a sense of we can see all the historical
activation.
So
you're going to do it as a time series then. So you're still going to be looking at it and hoping that it improves.
Oh, for sure. That's very much the goal.
But not a parallel A-B test.
Unlikely.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the status of that. I still have one more week of Tyson before he rotates onto Upcase for another 2 weeks. So we certainly will ship something. We'll see what it is.
We will see.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I think that's what's new in FormKeyPlan.
Cool.
What's new with you?
So this was the first full week that Jeff was on the project, or mostly full week. Both of us actually had a vacation day this week, making it more complicated. Mm. But I think that went really well. Jeff is pretty comfortably moving through the project, taking on things, repairing on and off. But I'm feeling good about the level of process documentation and how is it that we run this thing called Upcase? What does that mean? What are our high-level thoughts and strategies? So I feel like that's going quite well. Hopefully Jeff would say the same. But that took up a bunch of this week. One thing that I started this week that I'm pretty excited about actually is talking to users.
Hey.
You've been mentioning this for a while. So this week was actually sort of a when it rains, it pours. We sent out a survey. We got 82 responses to that. So we've got a nice body of data there. Mm-hmm. So starting to look through that and trying to pull out intelligence from the raw data.
What kind of stuff are you asking? Or what of the questions you asked, what has yielded the most interesting answers?
So a couple of things were standout for me. One was, how long have you been programming? And we asked this in the survey a year ago, and it was biased towards more advanced years. So like 3 and up.
People were answering that.
Yeah. 3 and up was kind of the spike, and then, bell curve around that basically.
Okay.
Now we saw actually significantly more 1 to 2. So oddly enough, despite I would say a focus of effort into the intermediate to advanced branding and positioning and all of that, we're seeing more new users. And I guess 1 to 2 years is not tiny, but and I guess we didn't even have a segment for I am new to programming. Because I think that's actually a gap in my own thinking about it. Like, there could be people in this app that are basically new. Mm-hmm. There shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. We should have sufficiently explained what this thing is. But the 1 to 2 year was sort of surprising, and I think that represents a shift in who's coming in, which is sort of interesting.
Yeah, totally.
And we've also seen people then highlighting, I feel like there's sort of a gap between where this course starts and where I am. So that's kind of interesting. We're seeing that both in the raw data of the survey and in qualitative responses from people.
So you're saying that of this group that's coming in with less experience, they are finding that there's the stuff is too advanced for them?
In some cases, we're hearing that. It's not like an overwhelming thing. We're still seeing, I think, a majority of people in that more advanced group. But more than historically had been present, we're seeing newer users.
That kind of makes sense to me, given I feel like there's like people are kind of there's like a baby boom of Ruby developers happening right now, where like there's like boot camps are coming up to speed aggressively and churning out lots of new Ruby programmers.
Yep, and I guess boot camp graduates would be solidly in that window, and I do think of them as sort of our ideal audience. So it sort of makes sense, but it does mean that there are more gaps that we might want to fill. So another one that was actually interesting and I think distinct from the last time we were in the survey was, are you currently employed as a software developer? And 87% said yes. So 87% have a job as a software developer. So we're, I think historically we had seen more people searching for that first job. And in fact, the drip email course that we have speaks to that, land that Rails dream job, those sort of things. So it's interesting. This feels like a shift to me that we're seeing more people that are employed currently in this field but are still looking to improve their skills and et cetera, et cetera. Similarly, we have a question around, what are your goals with Upcase? What are you looking to do here? And similar answers to the previous time, with the exception that learn new skills and technologies, the vast majority of people said yes to that, which sounds kind of obvious, but we saw less of that with the first version of the survey, the year ago version. People were much more interested in kind of more abstract ideas of becoming a senior developer. So less about particular technologies and more about broadly, I want to make better code. I want to also be a part of a community. And so community is actually much lower this time, and technologies, particular things, has moved up.
Going back to that employed professional thing, any chance you asked people if their employers are paying for their subscription or if they are?
I meant to include that. I'm not sure if I did. So I have a question about Teams, and Teams is sort of a proxy for that. It's not perfect because some people have their employer paying for their single license. I do not have that question, unfortunately.
Okay.
This is the problem with surveys, is I spent a while kind of tweaking the questions and still was like, I don't know, and I don't get to take this back. But there we are.
That might be interesting to know. Or that points to me, if a lot of people are professionals already, there's a good chance that their employers are paying for this, right? Out of a training budget kind of thing.
Yep.
Which would suggest less price sensitivity and whatnot, might give you some more better leeway to do certain things.
What sort
that
of
shall not be named.
Yeah, I think now I'm very much regretting not including that in the survey. But yeah, that's, I mean, we could in theory do a follow-up if we feel like that's a strong enough question to follow up on. But
I mean, if you really would like to know, if you emailed the people that responded already and said, thanks for your thing, your responses, really appreciate that. Hey, one quick additional question.
Yeah.
Like the people that have already proven willing to respond, that might, you might get a good response rate on that.
Yeah. 8.5 out of 10, they would recommend Upcase to a friend or colleague. That's just nice to hear. That's a
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Would you expect higher or lower?
I mean, that sounds really great.
It does. So there's a certain sort of self-selection bias, I assume, here. The people who are interested in doing a survey, the wording, I actually borrowed your survey wording from back when you did it on FormKeep, and sort of like, hey, we're trying to improve this platform. We want to make it better for you. We would love it if you could answer. So I think the people who are going to do that are naturally going to be potentially slated on the bigger fans. But the particular wording, and this was very purposeful, of would you recommend it? Not just do you like it, but would you recommend it? And that's pretty high, which speaks to maybe we should have some sort of refer a friend affiliate thing.
Right. Would you recommend it? Good, because you can't.
You can.
I mean, you can send him a link, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's, well, I want to do it in the form of you each get 50% off your first month kind of thing, something like that, but then have to write code and, you know, writing code.
I do recall from my time running Upcase that we would get the occasional email about like, hey, I want to refer people. Do you have some sort of like referral program?
Oddly enough, I'm trying to think. I don't think I've heard that specifically from people, but it definitely makes sense. And especially if we could reach out, that sort of thing. Let's see. The last thing which features slash content have you used? Trails, everybody's using that. The weekly iteration, standout, 85% of people are saying that's core to my experience here. Much less so on the exercise system, which kind of maps to what we see in the usage data. Flashcards, just under half, but those who use it seem to like it a lot. It was mentioned a number of times in the what are some things that you really like about Upcase. Huh. Flashcards came up, which is kind of surprising because I think we built that and then it's been kind of... We built a few additional pieces of content for it, but haven't pushed it that hard.
Interesting. What was the percentage on the exercises?
Exercises is 56%.
Okay.
Flashcards, 45%. The Upcase GitHub repo, 35%. That feels like a missed opportunity there. Mm. We do reach out to people and say, like, hey, have you tried this? But that might be one worth pushing a little harder.
This is people getting access to the actual GitHub repo behind...
Yeah, so like watching the repo and seeing as we're working on it and using it as an example of what's a production Rails app look like. The forum was surprisingly low. So forum reading, 33%, forum posting and replying, 7%. Hmm. I would be interested in seeing what that looks like historically because I think initially there was a solid bump and there was actually kind of more of ThoughtBotters were in there, and that's kind of waned a bit over time. Mm-hmm. Right now, we're seeing a bit of resurgence, particularly Jeff came from the forum. That's where he was birthed into the ThoughtBot. So he's been pretty active in there, and I'm trying to get back in there as well. But I wonder what that would look like had we asked this a year ago. Mm. But that feels also like sort of a missed opportunity.
Or a thing you can stop doing.
Well, I mean, I did. So I think that speaks to where we're at now.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's resonance is the term I'll use. So basically, as we put energy into that, it will naturally kind of multiply that energy.
Yeah.
If people see it to be a good place, an active place to have conversations about more advanced topics, then they'll be more inclined to start conversations, continue conversations. But if they see that it's kind of a ghost town, then, you know, I've certainly seen that with other online communities. Mm-hmm. But there is a question of how much effort we want to put into that and all of that.
I imagine that resonance is true for a lot of things that you could spend time on. Where it's like anything you spend a bunch of time on, I would expect to see more usage of.
Yeah, this one feels like it stands out, though, because like it's so visible to everyone, and it has sort of a network effect, whereas other things do not. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's the sort of quantitative aspect of it. We also asked some more freeform questions of what do you like, what do you not like, what do you most want to see? There were some standouts in terms of content. There's sort of a clear answer there. Still a lot of interest in Rails, which is great, but also some interest in some newer technologies. So contemplating what that means and how we can move into those or if we want to and how we want to support that. Mm-hmm. So lots of good food for thought. I want to do a little bit more research based on the broader data set that we have. So not the self-selecting group that said, I would like to talk to you, but the everybody. Who's using what features and what usage patterns correlate with longer term subscriptions. Mm-hmm. We did a little bit of data analysis looking at retention, specifically retention in terms of you start from subscribed, and following that, what's the drop-off rate in doing anything? Mm-hmm. So downloading a video, watching a video, doing an exercise, I think logging into the forum would technically count there. And so there were some very clear shapes in that data, in that curve. Initially, we're seeing a big drop-off, so there seems to be a clear opportunity to grab people early, to get them in there, to get them their first win, to keep them engaged and not lose them right away. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, then, we're seeing drop-offs right before each of the month markers, which is largely due to the fact that we send them an email that says, hey, we're going to charge you money. We do.
Mm, interesting.
Which... I inherited that, and I feel evil changing that.
Change it.
So I'm contemplating doing a sort of rolled out change where existing users get grandfathered into the old thing, because that is something I think would actually annoy people a lot if they've come to expect an email that says this is you're going to be billed, and then suddenly they got you were billed. But that's a thing that we can do. We can roll that out as a gradual thing.
Sure. Yeah, I guess. Although like... It might not be worth it, honestly, if you have like 20% churn. Is your churn like 20%-ish, somewhere around there?
It's in the 15 to 17. I think 17 most recently, 17%.
I don't know. It's just like people are churning through at a reasonable rate anyway. So it's like if it takes a lot of effort to do it in a phased way, there's only a small chunk of people who will still be around after a couple months. Does that make any sense?
It does. So like anyone coming in new, if we had... Right. Made this change, they're only seeing that. Anyone say 6 months is the average life term, lifespan.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Yeah. But so I'm part of my thinking on that. It's been a recommendation from a few people, but it almost feels like tricking people. And so I feel like there's a more making the product better way to do the same thing, which is I know at 3 weeks there's sort of a there's an intervention point. I should be sending you some of our best content at that point.
Uh-huh.
An email reminder like, hey, we've got this great thing. You haven't even tried it yet. You should really try it.
For sure.
Super quick, super easy. So we've identified these few points, both the initial probably 10 days, critical, let's get in there, let's do some interventions. And then I'd say 21 days and 51 days. Those are the really core points. And so mm-hmm. if I can hit those, doing that, then I think I'll feel good enough that I can say, like, sure, we're going to flip this email, which will probably have an effect. It'll move churn a little bit out.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think doing both sounds good. I was thinking about it, like, if you didn't have this email already and you're about to implement it, you would definitely send it as a receipt, not a...
Yes. Industry thing. Standard is receipt.
So, given that you can change the world, it probably makes sense to change it to be that.
Can.
As opposed to just keep it how it is.
Yep.
For historical reasons.
Agreed.
But yeah, it's not going to be a huge thing. It's not going to make a huge difference, I don't think. It's just
it'll shift. But if it shifts by half a percent, maybe, I don't know, something in that. Well, a percent would actually be huge on churn, so I don't know what it would do, but it would do something, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was the survey. That was that. We also started the process of customer interviews. So the survey was broadly, let's talk to a random sampling of people. I think we tried to select for users that had been around for more than a month, but I saw some people saying that they've been around for only a month, so either their memory was wrong or Intercom's filter was wrong.
Hmm.
I don't know. Anyway, it was a broad kind of random cross-section of users, but we also now have the customer interviews, which are starting to trickle in. And so these are people who are big fans of Upcase, have had success that they associate with Upcase and that are happy to tell that story.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're starting to pull that in. I haven't actually seen much of that yet, but I'm hearing little bits and it sounds like it's fun stuff. I'm excited to hear that. But that's the stuff is good in Upcase land.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also just today had a conversation with an Upcase subscriber. Her name is Astrid, and she just started listening to the podcast like from the beginning.
Oh,
and
wow.
And so she asked that I give her a shout out, which will now be in the future for her many years. All 200. Yeah. But we had a conversation around, she just started and was a little bit confused. So she sent in a help request that said, hey, I'm not really sure where to start.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? This is an important conversation. Let's just hop on a Skype call and I want to talk you through this. Mm-hmm. And so I took some notes and I basically answered a lot of questions. And her summary was like, this was super helpful. Frankly, you could probably just capture this in some form and share it back with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's enough of a guidepost at least to start.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a really good conversation, highlighted some of the gaps. It also pointed to some of what I was describing earlier of we bill ourselves as intermediate to advanced, and a lot of the people coming into Upcase would describe themselves that way, and I think correctly, but everyone has different kind of patches in their learning quilt.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a question of where we want to backfill those, or if we see commonly people just don't get the fundamentals of TDD. And so although we have this great course about TDD on Rails, if you're missing the core, it's not going to stick.
Yep.
So that's one that we have actually we're working to backfill, but trying to identify where the rest are. Like, should we have more intro Rails content? Not because it's your first time programming, but because you're transitioning from PHP,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So just trying to figure those things out. But so that was a great conversation. And lastly, I had a conversation with someone who works at a boot camp talking about strategic partnership sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
They're transitioning out of the boot camp, and the boot camp wants to provide some sort of continuing education. How can we help fill that gap?
Mm-hmm.
So excited about that conversation. It's very kind of early stages now, but that feels like the sort of thing that we should be doing more of.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, if the product is not the sort of thing that they want to send their people into, then something's wrong. So I also want to know that. So I feel like it's going to be win-win for me, whether it be like, actually, you know, it's not quite right for these reasons. That informs some stuff. Or, it's great. Let's send you some users.
Mm-hmm.
That's also great.
That's awesome. I mean, it seems like a good thing, a good sign to me that you're talking to a bunch of people.
Yeah. That's kind of the standout this week. I talked to a lot of people. I didn't do too much, but mm-hmm. I talked to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Continuing on that, you and I have had some interesting conversations talking about strategically what are we doing with this thing?
Yep.
How do we feel about where it's at relative to the amount of time that's gone into it? And thinking about the next set of basically investment that Thoughtbot's making into it. Do we feel it's worth it? Do we like the direction that it's heading and the strategy? So that's, I'd say, still an ongoing conversation, but similar things have been happening. We had the growth meeting with Dan. So talking about broadly, how are we trying to grow these products? What are our strategies? And I think that was a really good conversation and gave me sort of a peek into Dan's head and how he thinks about growth in sort of a systematic way. Mm-hmm. The idea of growth loops particularly was the thing that stood out to me. So the idea of when you bring new users in, how does that kind of backfill and allow you to get more at the top, a loop, as it were. And so that was interesting. And similarly, had continued conversations with Matt. Lots of similar conversations, lots of overlap between all of these, but broadly figuring out what's going on with this Upcase thing. How do we make it better? How do we keep growing it? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Beyond that, main other thing that we worked on this week was starting the next course. So starting to actually flesh it out, take all the recorded videos and things and put them together and make them a thing that we'll put on the internet and let people watch and be excited about.
Nice.
Probably market a little bit too.
So after all these conversations and survey results and all that, are there one or two clear things to you that need to change?
If anything, I would say that there are many things. Mm-hmm. The difficulty right now is in focusing, choosing the particular ones that we want to say, like, actually, can we take anything out? Can we remove features or remove inputs of effort? Can we make this thing easier to do so that there's more time to focus on X and Y? So unfortunately, I would say right now, no, but I'm starting to get to the place that I think I would describe as clarity on that. Mm-hmm. Or if nothing else, I don't expect that the data is going to uniformly point at and, you know, shine some lights on and start beautiful music in the background saying, do this one thing. I would love it if we could find a lever similar to the pricing lever in FormKeep, but I'm not sure what that is. So hoping to figure that out. Frankly, I would like to sort of lock down a strategy, at least for the next month or so, next week, and then be executing. Because this week, the conversations were great. And personally, I actually really enjoy talking about stuff, talking to people, just engaging overall. So that's been really positive for me personally, but at some point we've got to do stuff. So I want to transition to more execution soon. Probably next week, continuing out conversations, figuring things out. But beyond that, I think it should be we're doing stuff, we're executing on whatever plan it is that we sort of lock into. So yeah.
Okay.
I think that about covers it for me. So you want to do some questions?
Sure.
All right.
Let's do it.
Ben, you work on FormKeep. How is it better for subscribers this week?
Man, well, it costs more.
Okay, well, that's nice. Yeah.
We haven't shipped any product improvements in the last week, unfortunately. Sort of similar for customer acquisition, actually, your next question.
Anything on the FormLinter marketing front?
I have not touched FormLinter this week because of the monitoring and plan stuff and all that felt more higher priority. I think we talked about this last week, but it's kind of like this can kind of happen whenever. And so there has been some work there. And so I want to get the value out of it, but it's slightly less pressing.
I continue to be interested when you get to that place so that I can try and steal ideas.
Yeah, sure.
I hope.
I have seen people trying it out. I think probably podcast listeners, which is cool. So I've been getting feedback and bugs mostly from it. But so we'll see.
What did you do well that you should continue?
Raising prices. I don't know.
Right.
I don't have anything specific for. I hate these questions now. I don't.
The questions keep us honest, Ben.
They do. I dislike them this week. I'm feeling really anti questions for some reason.
So here's my meta question then. Okay. Are you feeling anti questions because you're not happy with the work that was done this week? Or are you feeling anti questions because you think the questions are not a good proxy for. I've definitely felt that in previous weeks, but what do you think?
I guess the reason I'm feeling anti them today is because, in particular, so I think the first two are good to answer consistently. That's just like the product should always be getting better, and you should probably be thinking about acquisition a good amount. And it concerns me that my answer to those are not clear, are not better each week. The second two right now are annoying me just because it's like, why do I always need to be thinking about this was good, this was bad? And why does every week need an answer to these questions where it's like, this particular thing was good this particular thing was bad. I don't know. Something about the repetitive nature of that is irking.
Yeah, I feel like we're saying very similar things, whereas better for subscribers and more subscribers should probably be different from week to week. What did you do well and what did you do poorly at some point just become character traits.
Right. It's like, I don't like answering support requests that much, so sometimes they sit there a little longer than they should. Mm-hmm. This week was good, so I guess like the good thing I did was I didn't not answer support requests. But like, I feel like
there's a cup half full answer.
Yeah, they're gonna. I feel like these are gonna be repetitive. But I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just annoyed with my answers.
Perhaps.
Because nothing is coming to me clearly and I'm a little tired.
Did you do anything poorly this week that you should stop?
I mean, clearly, like a million things probably. But nothing stands out as being particularly worse than my usual.
Right.
It's like,
well, maybe it's time for us to shake up the questions.
I think
one
maybe
and two
we should.
Sound good, but maybe yeah. we switch out three and four.
All right. Why don't we... Yeah.
Well, let's continue through and maybe next week we'll have something different.
Okay.
What are your plans for the coming week?
We got to ship those damn activation improvements.
All right.
We've been talking about this too long. Yeah, I want those out the door.
Okay.
If nothing else, like make that go. Bin deploy production.
Bin deploy production. And what about your MRR? This will be a fun one.
MRR is up 20% to 8,963.
Hey-o.
Which is pretty sweet for 1 week work.
Yeah.
And which is actually more, but you know.
Yeah.
That feels good. So why is the product better for your customers?
Shipped a weekly iteration, and we also squashed a bunch of little bugs, little support requests. There were a couple of exercises that people kept getting hung up on, so I made some tweaks to the featured solution and things like that.
Nice.
I sort of gave myself permission on Wednesday to go slightly into reactive mode and just say, like, there's some stuff. I hear it enough. I want to fix it and hopefully reduce support burden moving forward and make this thing more manageable. So that was good. That felt good. I think subscribers will enjoy that.
Cool. Customer acquisition?
Nothing of note. It's kind of a dry week on that front.
Okay. Do well?
Talking to people, getting input from many, many folks, lots of subscribers, both good, both happy and slightly less happy, or at least needing direction, as well as internal folks here at Thoughtbot. So that was excellent.
Okay. What did you do less well?
I think it's okay that this is where we're at this week, but very soon I'm going to get to a place where not executing, not doing anything is going to become a problem. It's purposeful right now, so it doesn't necessarily feel right to say that this is something I did poorly. I'm trying to give myself time and not react to the unfortunate dip in MRR and things like that, but very soon we're going to be in that place. So that I'm not there, that I'm not ready, that I don't have the answer as to your question earlier, what are your plans? Not super sure. Still figuring that out. Got to lock that down.
What is your MRR?
We are at 34,228, which is a drop of $245 or 0.7%. At least we're stable. It's less down each week.
That's good. The decline is slowing.
I mean, in theory, I hope that there is a stabilization point, that we're not just dropping for random reasons. Like, there should be plateau. I expected it to be higher. It seems like it's lower, but hopefully this thing will stabilize over the summer and then we can grow back. Not we're just falling off a cliff. Who knows? We'll find out. Tune in next week. Same bat channel.
Cool. I think that's it then.
You gotta ask me my plans.
Oh yeah.
Skipped over plans.
What do you hope to do by next time?
I don't think we'll be ready to actually release it, but I want to push the TDD trail, preferably having notes and sort of the course structure in place. So we're pretty close to a launch, probably launching the following week, hopefully. Every time I say that, that's a lie, so I don't know why I do. Weekly iteration, I want to plan that out because we'll be recording the following week. And I want to have whatever strategy, plan, whatever, have that locked down so that the following week is doing stuff.
Cool.
Cool. Good chatting with you, Ben.
Hey, you too. Today's show is produced and edited by Tom TKO Obarski. If you'd like to access the show notes for this episode, you can go to giantrobots.fm/201. Thanks for listening.